In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Advent, he comes. Hosanna to the Son of David, he comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, he comes. Advent, and that's what Advent means, he comes, has now begun. Christ our King comes. And so we begin the Advent season, the season that looks forward to the coming of the King with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, having just raised Lazarus from the dead, with the news of his arrival preceding him, with the messianic fervor in the crowd sweeping everyone in Jerusalem, Christ the King, the Son of David, arrives in the royal city, Jerusalem, the city of peace. It was ordained, preordained by God before the very foundation of the world, all according to the divine plan of salvation. And so it is that Jesus could instruct Peter and John, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. The disciples went and did as Jesus said and had directed them, and it was all just as the Lord had spoken. It was ordained. It was preordained by God so that the prophet Zechariah prophesied, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. It was preordained by God so that Israel's history foreshadowed it. When Solomon, David's son, the king who would usher in Israel's greatest age of earthly prosperity, ascended to the throne, he was set on the king's mule and entered the royal city to the shouts of the people and public acclamation. The king who is even greater than Solomon, the heavenly Solomon, has arrived. The king comes. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He is the Son of David, the rightful heir of David's throne, but he is also called the Son of the Most High. He comes to receive the throne of his father, David, not just for a single lifetime, but he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So Christ makes his royal entry. He is the king. But what sort of king is he, and what is his kingdom? According to his divine omnipotence, his kingdom consists in this, that he rules all things in heaven and upon earth with might and power. As we heard last week, by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Or as Holy Scripture testifies elsewhere, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This is the kingdom of power by which Christ rules all things according to his divinity, or what we sometimes call his left-hand kingdom. But he enters Jerusalem in royal procession, not pulled by a chariot with war horses, not accompanied by soldiers, but on the colt of a donkey, humble and lowly. He enters the city not by the citadel gate, which would be the natural path from Bethage, but through the temple gate. By coming humbly and through the temple gate, he shows us the unique kind of kingdom that he has come to establish, not a kingdom of this world, but a spiritual kingdom. He is not taking the citadel of Jerusalem to rule as an earthly king, but he comes to establish a spiritual kingdom, the holy kingdom of his holy Christian church, where he will rule not by power alone, but by grace. Grace in the kingdom of grace, which we sometimes call the right-hand kingdom. This is precisely why the acclamation of the crowds crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," will so soon turn to the braying of "Crucify, crucify." They wanted a Messiah who would bring earthly blessings, not heavenly. Their eyes and hearts were on worldly things. They wanted freedom from Rome, victory over their enemies, wealth and food and power. But that is not the kingdom that Christ came to establish. And when it became clear that Christ would not be the sort of Messiah they thought he should be, the crowds turned on him. Eyes and hearts set on earthly things, set on an earthly kingdom. They missed the spiritual heavenly kingdom and thus rejected their king. They can only gain entrance by letting their base passions be crucified by the Lord's law and turning to the king that they rejected in faith. This worldly spirit is still very much alive today. Those preachers of the prosperity gospel fall into the same error when they preach that faith in Christ will bring health, wealth, and success in life, your best life now. It is a seeking after an earthly kingdom and a worldly Messiah. These things are not promised to us before the establishment of the kingdom of glory at the end of days. And it is a temptation we all face when we fall into sickness or deprivation or temptation and similar crosses. Whatever afflictions we endure, when we cry to our Lord and King for help, and he does not immediately give us what we want, but instead answers us that there will be suffering in this world, and that my grace is sufficient for you. But it is also in these times that faith can most be active. Cling to Christ the King and his promises despite all the outward circumstances, and thus receive most fully the spiritual kingdom in receiving the King. He comes humble on the colt of a donkey and through the temple gate, because it will not be from the citadel that he rules, but from holy Mount Zion in his Christian church. He enters into Jerusalem to allow himself to be conquered by the Romans, in order to save the Romans, condemned by the mob and their leaders to save those who rejected him, condemned as a sinner for our sins to bring us an everlasting kingdom. There on his cross he is high and he is lifted up. He himself is the temple, the dwelling place of God, so that what was prophesied by Isaiah might come to pass. In the latter days, that mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. He comes to bring all people into his kingdom so that they might flow to him like a river. He sends out his heralds. He sends them out with the good news of the gospel to gather people from east and to west, to gather them by the preaching that he has died for us, that he makes peace for us between us and God. He truly makes Jerusalem the city of peace by the consecration of his blood, and that he was risen for our justification. He makes us citizens of his kingdom by the waters of holy baptism and teaches us his ways and the ways to walk in his word. He nourishes and sustains us by the royal feast of his body and his blood and rules in our hearts as he conforms us to his own divine image. He rules over his kingdom of grace by the means of grace. The central message of our text today is that Jesus is King and he comes. He is King. The King of kings, the government of all things is upon his shoulders. He is King in the kingdom of power in which he rules all of creation. He is kingdom over the kingdom of grace, his church, where he rules by word and sacrament. And on the last day, he will inaugurate a new kingdom, his kingdom of glory. And just as there is a threefold kingdom, there is a threefold coming. He came once in mercy, humble, born of a virgin, riding on a colt to the royal city, dying for the forgiveness of our sins. He comes to us regularly in his kingdom of grace, distributing the benefits of his heavenly rule. in his word and most intimately in the Holy Communion. And we will come, and he will come again in the clouds with great glory to judge the living and the dead, to inaugurate the kingdom of glory. Once and for all, bringing an end to all sin and all death, and creating a new heavens and a new earth with a new heavenly Jerusalem for his saints to dwell, with himself being their all in all. Ave Christe Rex. Hail Christ the King. Advenit, he comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. These ushers may come forward to receive the offering. Thank you.